Welcome back to the Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond and Monumental Sports Network 2. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Ben Valin, who covers the NFL for the Boston Globe, will join us coming up at 7:20. But it's 7 o'clock, that's skins hitting time. Hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great, radio listener.
All right, so obviously most of you heard yesterday afternoon. I actually didn't hear it for a couple hours afterwards. Was out running around, but John Allen has a torn pec, out for the year.
That is a crusher.
I think probably many of you saw the play where he kind of rolls around on the ground, grabs his pec. I think shortly afterwards he walked off. I don't quite understand how you could tear a pec. I mean, I know that those guys are just battling and just, so, you know. I understand tearing a pec like bench pressing, you know, shoulder pressing or something, but I don't understand it. You know, when you're playing,
was it from a fall onto the ground, or was it during like hand fighting?
Well, I'm sure they were hand fighting. Yeah. You know, you saw him roll down. Like, obviously, something happened. But I mean, these are just big, a devastating.
That's how powerful, strong the guys.
Powerful dudes, you know, like battling each other, and just
I guess
these guys are beasts.
Yeah. I wonder if it was sore or like on the verge, of sort of popping before. I'm very curious.
I was told that when he came off the field, he didn't think it was that serious.
Yeah, right. He didn't look like he was distraught.
Yeah. So,
but we can ask him all about it. He's going to join us at 9 a.m. today.
Yeah. No, so, I'm definitely going to ask him. I feel for him. He's out for the year. USA Today has a little article, and they talk about, you know, John's been here for a long time, been a model employee. He did have a moment last year, I think it was, where he was super frustrated, and he questioned whether or not he even wanted to be here. But
I'm sure he was echoing the sentiment
of his teammates.
That was after
the Giant game.
Like, yeah.
That was after the Giant game, wasn't it?
He was frustrated. Yeah. But he's been here like 8 years. He's finally waiting for a good team, and it appears that we have a decent team, even though the Ravens put it to us pretty good. We have a decent team this year. It can be competitive and beat some teams. It sucks.
Next man up. I mean, drafted Johnny Newton, so they have more depth than usual. So you're going to probably see a lot more of Fedarian Mathis and Johnny Newton. I watched a clip of Dan Campbell talking about the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. Reporters like, is this going to hurt your chances to win a Super Bowl? Do you think you have enough to win a Super Bowl without Aiden Hutchinson, who leads the NFL in sacks with 7.5? He'll be out for the year with his torn, broken tibia, I believe.
Broken leg. Yeah,
left leg.
And he was like, it's the reality. It's next man up.
Yep.
We believe we have enough. So same thing for the Commanders.
Pro Bowl caliber, and like, I mean, Hutchinson's one of the best pass rushers. Might be the best in the league. Crushes you.
The problem is,
looking at it from John's perspective.
Oh, yeah, it sucks for him.
Yeah, not looking at it.
Jonathan Allen gets double teamed a lot, and so next man up. But I'm not sure you're going to be able to stop the run. Not that they were stopping the run.
Well,
with Jonathan Allen,
it certainly made it more difficult.
This is gonna affect their defense.
They're hyping up Johnny Newton, and you know that he slipped, and they can't believe they got him where they got him and everything. And of course, he's had two little operations to fix his feet or whatever the hell was going on there. He certainly hasn't hit his stride yet. Listen, I don't put a ton of stock in PFF grades, but Johnny Newton was their lowest rated defensive player, you know, against the Ravens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's far from.
The question is, can they take the snaps? Because Jonathan Allen and DeRon Payne take a lot of snaps.
Well, they produced that this year. But
that's true. That's because they added Newton and Mathis. But the fact that they still take a lot of snaps, and these guys are going to have to step up and take equal amount of snaps, that's going to affect them. It will.
But again, just from a personal standpoint, feel bad for John. You know, he's been coming on our show for several years now. And he had a couple sacks starting to come on a little bit. And it just sucks to lose it for
the year.
He's
just going to have to be there on a T-shirt on the sidelines just watching every week.
Jason was talking about double team percentages. This is from PFF on October 9th, so it doesn't include the last game. And I'm not sure if it was for just 1 week or for the season to date. DeRon Payne had been double teamed on 54.3%
That's a lot.
Of his snaps. But Jonathan Allen wasn't that far behind. Jonathan Allen double teamed on 49.3%.
Yeah, basically half snaps. The time. I mean,
I think those numbers were bigger this past week too.
Even, yeah. So 50% of the time the guys are getting doubled. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
means the other guy. That's why honestly guys like Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvin, those guys are making plays. It's kind of also, I mean, they know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. You know, it's kind of by design. That's why you need those guys to make plays.
Basically 4-on-2. It's 4 offensive linemen mm-hmm. typically, or at least on 50% of these snaps, mm-hmm. against 2 interior linemen in Dron Payne and Jonathan
Allen. I don't know how these guys can deal with it. I would be so frustrated. But, you know, the great ones, you know, are great for a reason. But can you imagine being double teamed every time?
No.
And sometimes, I mean, these guys are huge. John's a huge guy, and sometimes they're thrown around like rag dolls.
Well, I mean, offensive linemen, they can be like 350 pounds.
Yeah.
Get 2 of them against you.
It's crazy.
Well, think how good somebody like Dexter Lawrence is. So Dexter Lawrence, the interior lineman for the Giants, I think has 7 sacks. Mm-hmm. And
probably,
according to this, he's been double-teamed 65% of the time.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And some guy, now I don't know who this
what
is,
about
from Houston.
Chris Jones has to be.
Oh yeah,
doubled all the time too.
Do you know Folarunsu Fotukasi?
I don't know if I've ever heard the name before.
I'm sure he's probably doubled.
89 run defense snaps, 64 run defense snaps versus 2 or more blockers. Double team rate, 72%.
Well, he's clearly a problem. A handful.
Just getting back to the PFF grades, always. I'm just kind of curious. Again, I don't put a ton of stock in it because they don't know the assignments. They're just kind of guessing. But Mike Sanistrel, defensively, highest rated guy. That's good for him because he's been coming along, right? I think by most people you could say, even to a casual observer, he started slow this mm-hmm. year. Learning curve was maybe higher than anticipated, but had his first career interception, the first interception for the team. He had a 75 rating from PFF. Bobby Wagner, who, I mean, it's obvious. I understand why Drab was okay to see him go. He doesn't cover a lot of ground, but he's a vet. He's seems to be in the right space, and if you're in his box,
right.
he's going to bring you down.
Well, plus what he brings to the locker room, too,
of course,
as like culture and leadership.
But
like
he was their second highest ranked player defensively. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, third ranked. Dante Fowler and Cleland Farrell round out
Jean-Baptiste suffered an injury, too, so hopefully he's okay to go.
I think Farrell was his first game back since like week 2 or something.
Yeah.
Like he hadn't, and I felt his presence just watching it on television. Offensively, again, take these for whatever they're worth. They don't know the assignments, but you would guess, and you would be right, Jaden Daniels, highest rated guy offensively for the Commanders. Terry McLaurin right there with him, both with 78.6 ratings. Noah Brown, is third highest. Cornelius Lucas and Tyler Biotish cakes are your top 5.
I thought the offensive line played well against the Ravens.
Yeah, most of those guys are up there. The lowest rated offensive lineman, your boy cakes, Andrew Wiley.
That's my guy?
Down there is.
He's
the
my
bottom.
Boy all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's your buddy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Were they rotating?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because Coleman played 30.
Lucas and Coleman, right?
Yeah, they both basically played half the time.
Yeah.
Coleman played 30 snaps. Cornelius Lucas played 29. Let me see. The guys that played every snap, if you're curious offensively, obviously Jaden, Tyler Biotish, who everybody's raving about, Sam Cosmi, who's kind of coming into his own and rewarded, Nick Allegretti, and the aforementioned Andrew Wiley. Couple off-field.
Don't you think the interior of the line
been markedly without, better.
Yeah. Biotish, Allegretti, better. And Cosmi. When Cosmi's healthy, he's one of the best guards in the league.
Those are two really good free agent signings, Allegretti and Biotish. Biotish got the bigger money coming in.
This is what I thought was going to happen when they signed Nick Gates.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
Yeah. That did not work very well.
All right, did he find a new home? Where's Nick Gates?
I think he did. He landed maybe, can't remember. I saw him sign a deal. I can't remember who it's with.
Eagles.
Ah.
Valdez, one of your own. Is knocking out Skins fans. I don't know what's going on here. Video spread on social media showing a Ravens fan in a Lamar jersey attacking two Commanders fans in Baltimore.
It's a pretty disturbing video.
Kicks the first guy.
In the stadium?
No, outside. Out on the street.
Oh, okay. Looks like he's a pretty big dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He kicks the first guy and then punches him in the face, knocks him out.
Just drops him.
And then goes after the second guy, and then there's kind of a mad scramble. They must have been talking trash
to each other.
I think the Ravens dude was just super aggressive, and he just saw two guys in Commanders jerseys and engaged with them, and then he stole the first dude, dropped him, and the other guy, he just grabbed him and jacked him up against the wall, and I think he hit him once or twice, and then that guy got away, but
it's frustrating.
Of course, it got filmed, and I think I saw he's already been fired from his job, good, and he could be brought up on charges. He should be brought up on assault
charges.
That's
assault, for sure.
I think somebody said it's potential felony assault charges.
For sure. You can't just knock out guys like that.
His team won the game. Why are you in
he's out of his mind.
Why are you in such a foul mood when your team just won a game?
He's clearly out of his mind.
Yeah, he probably had 50 beers.
High as a kite or had 100 beers,
probably
whatever it is.
50 beers at the game, and he was on a warpath.
Yeah, so hopefully
they'll catch him.
Please put him in prison.
Hopefully. Well, yeah, you can see all the social media things.
I mean, you're laughing. Why? That guy should be...
he should go to jail. I don't know, prison, but jail.
I mean, I think he's going to get real jail time.
You can see, name. He's a producer and sales executive, or was a producer and sales executive.
I mean, you could kill
somebody. Have you not seen the video, Jason?
Hitting him in the head like that, dude.
Jason hadn't seen it, so here's your reaction.
He is an idiot.
Big dude, and he's got his buddy filming him from behind.
Right, his buddy's
knocks that guy out cold, and then then he brags like, "I never lose."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's going to lose when he's doing jail time.
Mayors, were you guys aware of this? The mayors did their wacky little bit where they were betting.
Did that?
Yes.
Oh, such an awful bit.
Let me see. The Baltimore mayor is Brandon Scott. Apparently, he started it. He posted a video on Twitter with a message to our brothers and sisters in D.C. When the Ravens win... He wants Muriel Bowser to declare Scott's birthday as Baltimore Club Music Day.
That sounds lame.
And he said he also wants to give D.C.'s mayor to give the Baltimore mayor whatever kind of crab cakes you guys actually have in D.C.
Oh, he's joning.
Yeah, he's joning.
And then she accepted it, and she said when the Commanders win, you'd have to declare D.C. Go-Go Day. And we get your crab case. And then something about the pandas at the zoo or something.
Pandas are en route, by the way.
Pandas are coming back. They'll be back by 9:30.
Now, they're not the same pandas that got shipped to China, right?
Just different
pandas.
Yeah, it's like those old farts are about to donk off.
Are they real pandas, or are they dogs painted as pandas?
You know what? We'll have to have boots on the ground at the zoo to check that.
Do you remember
we talked about that story that there were a couple
dogs?
There
was a Chinese zoo where they painted the dog, I think it was two chow chows. They painted them in a panda color scheme and put them in the habitat, and they tried to hoodwink all the people coming into the zoo.
I think I was out that day.
They're about this big.
I've never heard of that.
I doubt it.
I've never heard of that.
I bet you were here.
Well, it happened.
Yeah.
And people are like, are you serious? Why are you trying to get dogs spray painted as pandas?
That's hilarious.
What are we doing here?
So obviously...
By the way, Muriel Bowser, the mayor, is going to be on the show on Thursday because I believe... She's giving the key to the city to Daryl Green.
Ah, very good.
They're going to have some sort of Daryl Green celebration. So we'll talk to Mayor Bowser on Thursday.
His jersey retirement is this weekend at Northwest Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think for our 30th we can get a key to the city?
No. We're not getting that.
You don't think?
No.
No.
History tells me no.
All we do is talk about how we just can't wait to get in our cars and speed out of D.C.
We hate coming into the city. They're going to give us keys to it.
They're going
to
give us the keys to the city.
I don't want a key to the city.
You don't want to come in?
I don't want to come in.
I just want somebody to take out this piece of glass out of my foot.
I just want the honor.
Here's what I want.
Yeah.
My own parking spot. Just give me a parking spot right here near the building. Give me an honorary parking spot.
You don't have to pay for?
Yeah, sure.
He definitely doesn't want to pay for it.
That's way better than a key to the city. It's way more valuable. Right?
All right. I guess. I mean,
Dumb key to the city.
I'm fine with my parking right now. I love my parking.
Yeah, but you have to pay for it. I want a free parking spot.
It's fine.
You're getting free electricity, though.
I am getting... That is true.
Yeah.
To charge my car.
JP and I don't pay for our spots. Just saying.
Well, you do. You tip.
Yeah, you tip every month. Yeah, you know, they know.
I don't have to.
They know.
I can tip them, you know, a dollar every other day.
I know, but you barely tip them.
I don't nub them.
I don't nub them. I pay as much as he does.
How much is JP nubbing him per month?
$150 a month, maybe?
I give $100 a month.
Okay. All right.
You pay less than $100 a month?
Oh, he definitely does.
$2 a day.
$2 or $3 a day.
So he's like $60 tops.
No, $2 or $3 a day to for the drop off and the pickup.
So it's like $5. Okay. And the good news
is about $100.
You get it back in food you steal from the hotel.
Yeah, that's true. You're subsidizing.
Hey, good point.
It's a great scam. All right, when we come back, we'll continue to talk NFL with Ben Valin, covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. And at 8:20, Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post will join us here on The Junks.